you very much, Dr. Kiley, Representative Chris Solomon, and Professor Boyle. I'm delighted to be here. The honor is mine. This is a gorgeous day. I've never been to Utah. Although my husband was here about 30 years ago, he said when he looked down, he saw nothing. There's no development, so I can't wait to get back on and tell him how much I've changed in this state. Before making my remarks, I would be remiss if I didn't say something about Professor Barbara Bass, who was originally slated to be here with you today, but couldn't because her daughter is having surgery. I know that nothing less would have prevented her from being here, and she sends her best regards to all of you. And thank you very much for the gracious introduction. Just a word about the Center for Family Support. Of course, the center was established by the University of Baltimore School of Law in 2000 to engage, develop, and nurture family justice system reform throughout the country as well as in the state of Maryland. As such, our activities run the gamut from very locally based grassroots programs. We have, for example, a thriving truancy court program that brings district and circuit court judges into the schools to work with truant children. RLS to national studies, literature. We do academic surveys. We provide significant technical assistance and guidance to jurisdictions around the country that are considering and implementing family justice system reform. We also publish a number of publications. A couple are out in front in case you're interested. One is a brochure that gives you more information about the center's activities. The other is the USC Connection. This is a newsletter. It's the only newsletter in the country that is devoted to Unified Family Support developments and issues. Okay, so I am here to talk about Unified Family Support. And before I go into the components of the Unified Family Court, I do want to say and acknowledge what I've heard even just this morning about the juvenile court in Utah. You get it. A lot of the values that underlie the juvenile court in Utah are the same ones that inform Unified Family Courts around the country. Unified Family Courts are really part of a broader emerging interest in community justice. Some people call it problem-solving courts or approaches. They all involve new ways of thinking about the justice system. Their emphasis is on problem solving, responsiveness to citizen concerns, individual responsibility, and making families and individuals responsible for their actions, and the coordination of services and resources that arm our citizens in ways that enable them to be productive members of their community. Okay, we can just go to the first slide. Just a brief discussion about the demographic changes that underlie this trend toward Unified Family Court. Looking at marriages and divorce from 1990 to 2006, 15 years, we saw a significant increase in marriage. But look at what happened in divorce. 51% increase in divorce. And I understand, or my guess is that Utah is an exception, that divorces may not be as prevalent here as they are in some other states. Still, there has been a significant upward trend in divorce rates. 27% increase in female-headed households with children. 32.4% increase in one-parent families with children. Looking at birth rates, there was a relatively small increase in the overall birth rate between 1990 and 2006, 3%. But more than double that, a 7% increase in births to unmarried mothers. Not surprisingly, these demographics, along with social and economic changes, have flooded our courts. Looking at, for example, my state, Maryland, nearly 50% of the entire trial court caseload is composed of family law litigants. In Nebraska, it's nearly 60%. In Nevada, almost 50%. In New Jersey, 41%. So what happens to all these people? We've got these people who are grappling with the most profound problems that families face. They are swept into the justice system, and they're pretty much on their own to navigate the courts. At the lowest point of their lives, they're dealing with divorce, child custody, child support, family violence, and all the corollary issues that are attached to those major issues. They come into a court system where They are signed by many different courts, many different judges, courts that have overriding jurisdiction over different legal questions, all of which apply to one family, the same family. What does that mean? Well, in Pennsylvania, for example, the current divorce process may involve 14 different hearings before 8 different judges, 4 special masters or judicial officers, a conciliator or mediator, and a hearing officer. And what's the impact on the family? Parents lose work time, they pay sky-high legal bills because of all the complications and complexity of the court system. There is potential for conflicting orders from judges who don't have access to the kinds of information that they need in order to make informed decisions. And there are conflicting orders. For example, I heard about one judge who ordered visitation in a matrimonial proceeding in Pennsylvania, while another judge found evidence of abuse in a child protection proceeding and issued an order precluding unsupervised contact with the same adult. So, in a word, these families go into the court system, family justice system, and they're fractured, they're at odds, they're grappling with terrible problems, and they come out in an even worse position. They come out more divided. They come out in more adversarial towards each other than they were to begin with. And in a word, they're not whole. The justice system has not done what it should do to make these families whole.
Are you following me with the slide? Because I think it.
So, the Unified Family Court is one approach to address all of these critical problems in the family justice system. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to quickly go through the components of the Unified Family Court and then talk a little bit more about some of the more important and interesting components. The Unified Family Court is a single court system with comprehensive subject matter jurisdiction and specially trained and interested judges. And I'll call it UFC, because Unified Family Court is such a mouthful. The UFC addresses the legal and, this is so important, the social and emotional issues that affect families today. And we say that this is a holistic approach, that the UFC is focused on addressing both the non-legal as well as the legal problems that bring families into court. The UFC is involved in an informal court process, and by that I mean the delivery of social services, either directly or indirectly, to families. And then this benefits a comprehensive resolution of cases. And by comprehensive, I mean, again, we want to look at all of the issues and problems that families in crisis have to suffer. Monetary issues, job issues, psychological issues, all of those come together in a family court. The decisions of a family court are tailored to that individual family's legal, personal, emotional, and social needs. One of the most frequently cited components of the Unified Family Court, the one judge, one family, I understand that's already in place in the juvenile court in Utah. That is not feasible in a lot of jurisdictions, and in those cases we look at one case, one judge, or one team, one family approaches. And the underlying values of all of this, efficiency and compassion. Just a quick word about where we can find UFCs in the country. This is a map that details some of the state breakdown of UFCs. 15 states have fully operational statewide family courts. 18 states have family courts in selected areas of the state. 5 states have pilot or planned family courts. And 13 states have no specialized system to handle family legal issues. Utah is one of them, but again, as I said, so much of your juvenile justice system is based on many of the same principles and values that underlie the Unified Family Court. Okay, going into some of the more specifics about a Unified Family Court. A UFC is a specialized separate court. In other words, it's not family members aren't spread out and dispersed to different courts throughout a jurisdiction. It can be a division, or it can be a separate court. It consolidates all family-related cases into one court, either figuratively or literally. In Baltimore, for example, we have a family division, and what they did about 50 years ago when they started to implement, and you would see is that they moved all of the judges and the administrative staff into one wing of one of our circuit courthouse. Specialized judges serve in the USA, and by that we mean judges who are interested in family matters. Not every judge wants to be a family court judge, nor should they be. If they don't want to, they don't have the interest, and they don't have the temperament to serve in a family court, there's no reason why they should be there. A USC has comprehensive subject matter jurisdiction. Again, we consolidate all cases that affect the family into one court, one courthouse, so that divorce, dependency, abuse and neglect, delinquency, guardianship, custody, are some of the cases that a USC would hear. Another component of USCs is that it relies heavily on specialized case management and a case processing system. With all the different cases coming into court, you can imagine that there is a tremendous amount of coordination that goes into the work of the court. Part of this is early and hands-on case processing. When a family or when a family member comes into court into a USC, the first people they will see are the case manager or the intake supervisor, and along with a team of service providers. And that's an ongoing process throughout their time in the family court. The intake team can also consist of mediators, magistrates, social workers, but the bottom line is that this creates what we call a triage effect. This team identifies many of the problems that are affecting that family in court and can direct that family to services and bring services to bear on that family that starts solving that family's problems right away. This allows, and a lot of judges will look at a USC and say, this is making me into a social worker. I happen to recognize all the problems and social issues. I am not a social worker. But in fact, the reverse is true. What the triage effect does is allow judges to focus on the complex cases that they have before them by delegating to others, to service providers and the rest of the team, matters that can be handled by such practices as alternative dispute resolution, referral to treatment, and so on. And many of the recurring issues that bring people into, bring families into court are amenable to that kind of service delivery. Going back to the one judge, one case model, or one judge, one family, what we mean by one judge, one family is that whenever a family member comes into court and a judge sees that particular family member, if any other member of that family is subsequently involved in court, the same judge will see that person. And this gives the judge a total picture of what's going on in the family dynamics, family history, and consequently, she or he is able to make a much more informed decision about each individual family member. We found that that's not feasible in a lot of jurisdictions, particularly in urban areas, just because of the burgeoning caseload in the court. In those cases, what we recommend is one judge, one case. One judge will see a case from start to finish rather than having, in the more traditional sense, having judges rotate in and out of the court and dealing with a case halfway through it. Or one team, one family. This goes back to the team that sees a family when they first come into court. Whenever a family is involved in court, they will see the same team members. And that way, the team really gets a picture of what's going on with the family and can inform the judge about what's happening. So what does this do? Why do we feel this is such a great model? Well, the USC promotes a greater sense of responsibility to families. I think you can see with all the emphasis on social services, identifying problems and issues that afflict families from the very minute that they step into the courthouse, we can fashion more effective legal outcomes. Yes, it requires a high degree of court administration organization, but so often these are things that courts are doing already, just not as efficiently because you have all these different courts working on overlapping issues that affect families. I mentioned that services are a tremendously important ingredient of USCs. The services can be court supplied, court connected. The court always determines the essential services for their client population, however. This fosters a community involvement with the court. This is another trademark of USC. So many of them have very strong ties with the community. In New Jersey, for instance, which has a statewide USC, there are literally hundreds of community organizations and community entities that work with the court to provide a number of services and other interventions with families. The USC is a user-friendly court. It's highly important how consumers of court services perceive the court. We take our law students on field trips to the County Commission in Baltimore every semester, and we always ask them to take special note of how they are greeted by the guards when they first come into court. That's because everyone, from the guards to secretaries to administrators to the judges, take consumer services classes and training. They are trained on how to deal with the public. The USC is accessible to all litigants, making it, again, user-friendly. So many of the people in family court are pro se litigants because of the economy and other concerns. Many people cannot afford legal services, so in a USC, you would have a special emphasis on providing information to those pro se litigants. Then we have, I'm not thrilled with the next slide, there's a quotation, I'm not thrilled with it, skip it. Just a couple of minutes about the philosophy that underlies, USC. This is a growing trend, growing funding, therapeutic jurisprudence. You'll hear about that applied to criminal court, tort law, so it's just the whole panoply of legal cases. TJ, as it's commonly called, studies the role of law as a therapeutic agent. Again, the emphasis in family justice system is to make families whole, even if they are going through a conduct splintering them, dividing them, they're in an adversarial situation. The role of judges and lawyers and court staff is to heal that family, to make them as whole as possible so that they continue once their cases have been decided as productive members of the community and operating as a family. TJ calls for consequences that flow from both the substantive rules of law and the behavior of legal actors. And again, I know I'm emphasizing the behavior of legal actors because that is what is truly transformative about the USC model. TJ, the task of courts under TJ is to identify and examine the relationship between what the judge rules and the therapeutic outcomes. Again, how can we put a judge's ruling in the context of a family healing? I know I talked a lot about something that some people feel is touchy-feely. I've spoken a lot about services and about therapeutic jurisprudence and a holistic approach. I do want to say that TJ and in a USC context, other considerations, legal considerations, are not trumped by TJ. Considerations of community safety, due process, the rule of law are always and will always be of paramount importance in a USC. And just briefly, I want to focus on the consequences. What are the consequences of adopting this therapeutic approach in a USC? This approach empowers individuals by allowing them to learn self-determining behavior. A USC empowers judges by allowing them to be creative and consider alternatives, and I would add by giving them the information that they need to make the most informed decision about a family. A USC protects families and children from present and future harm. A USC decreases emotional turmoil by constantly emphasizing ways to make the family whole. We remove the aspect as much as possible of a divorce or of the division or of the fracturing of a family.
The UFC promotes family harmony or preservation. It encourages a therapeutic role for all court personnel, and it provides input to individualized and efficient, effective justice based upon a party's needs as opposed to simply, or not the advocate, in addition to their legal rights. The ecology of human development, that's just a highfalutin way of saying that in a unified family court, we always think about the family in the context of the community. It is not just that a family isolated in the family justice system, but rather as part of a community, so that, for example, it's not unusual to find UFC judges reaching out to a school to find out how a child in a divorce proceeding is doing in school. Are they coming to school? Are there behavioral problems or other issues? The same with faith-based institutions or even an employer. All of these have an impact on the family's life, just during their time in court as well as afterwards. And I just want to end with a quote that I think really captures the idea and the feeling behind UFC. This is Judge Roger Warren in a Law Review article. Ultimately, as Justice Felix Frankfurter reminded us, the authority of the court is a moral one, rooted in fundamental shared values and the good character of its officers. And ultimately, that authority rests on our ability as judges to live up to those values, to meet the reasonable expectations of litigants and the public, to put a human face on who we are, what we do, and how we do it, to show that we care about the people affected by our processes and decisions, in short, to demonstrate that we are worthy of the public trust. Thank you very much.
Comprehensively address family issues. In many states, in Rhode Island, for example, in New Jersey, where they have statewide unified family courts, the juvenile court is also part of that.